Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, happy Tuesday. It is the 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and you know what that means. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I'm not as exciting as Kaylin when it comes to reading the promo, so you'll have to tune back into the show on Thursday, and hopefully he'll be back along to do all of the sound effects for us. But so happy to have you with us tonight. I hope you guys have had a great weekend and a great week so far. P4P Real Talk is starting off with a bang this week. We've got a great guest. But you know, you hear me say that every week because I think all of our guests are great, and they typically are. If you remember, last year, Kaylin and I went on a tour of promoters where we had on several promoters from several organizations talking about their shows, talking about their hopes and dreams and aspirations for the athletes, the experience that they're wanting to provide, you know, their stance on natural bodybuilding, all of that good kind of stuff. And this year, we are taking that a step beyond, and we've gone straight to the organizations. And we're bringing on representatives from those groups to let us know what's going on with them in 2017 and what athletes can expect by competing underneath their call letters. So tonight we have Mr. Earl Snyder with the NGA, and he is going to bring us up to speed on what's going on with the National Gym Association. If you weren't quite sure, we have a lot of alphabet soup going on in the industry, and you keep people saying, well, where are you competing? And you're like, oh, it's an IFPA show or it's an NAMBF show, and they're not really sure what that means. Here, we're going to get a better understanding of the NGA, and you'll be able to tell folks what the group actually stands for and why it's a good thing to be competing under their letters. Earl, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Desiree. I just want to, first of all, thank you and P4P Muscle for having me on.
Oh, definitely. Our pleasure. You know, anytime that we can have great folks that are doing great things in the industry come on and share with our listeners, it's a win-win for everybody involved. So why don't you please indulge me and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Of course, I'm Earl the Pearl Snyder. I'm the NGA Promoters Relations. A little background. I had competed my first show in 1986. So,
wow.
You know, 30 years ago. Yeah, so 30 years ago, being all drug-free, I was very blessed because I had a wrestling background, wrestled actually out for Drake University out in Iowa, so I had the genes for it, and started my first show, and from there, it just took off. Was competing on a national level within 2 years, and something you don't see too often, Desiree, is that I was fortunate or blessed enough to win the MPC Nationals being drug-free. And then started competing. Yeah, so you probably only have a handful of people that could actually say that. So then I was blessed and got to compete internationally since 1989 for the U.S. And then it got to the point where I got to compete in over 15 different countries for the United States. And that's a very great honor. And then heading out my career, I ended up winning the two-time Mr. Universe. The first one was over in Spain. Second one was in Italy, and then I was two-time NGA Pro World. So, you know, that's a little bit now. You know, because of my experience, I was able to produce a DVD posing like a champion. So now it's time for me to give back to my clients, to the athletes, and to other drug-free bodybuilders.
Well, and I think you are definitely doing that. And I'm really appreciative of all the information that you shared in your background, because I think that is a great example of what you can do with a career in natural bodybuilding if you're able to, you know, pursue it to that level, if you have the passion to go after it at that level. I mean, 15 different countries, you know, competing just across the board in different organizations, like you mentioned, the NPC, and just, you know, the lengths that you can go, really, if you want to take it there. And I mean, I think that's very exciting. I don't know that we've spoken to anyone with quite that diverse of a competitive background, so very interesting. And then you produced a DVD. How long ago was your posing DVD out, or is that something recent that you've done?
No, that's been out there for years, and it's very didactic and very thorough. So it's just not what the poses are, men and women. It's how you go into the poses to make yourself look bigger and better. So it helps you. It's more from the eyes of what a judge is looking for to help you perform on stage. And so I highlight all that. I've gained some of my experience being overseas and seeing how people pose differently overseas as compared to the U.S. And so I brought that back, and, you know, it helped many, many people, even internationally.
I bet. So even though this DVD has been out for a little bit, I promise, folks, this is not going to be a commercial for the DVD. I didn't even know it existed until a minute ago. But are copies still available? Can people still purchase it? Or?
Yeah. My email is earlpearlsnyder@live.com or I'm a promoter, so you can actually go on the ngaeastcoastnatural.com. And it's available through there as well as Amazon.com and, you know, other places.
Gotcha. So, folks, he's saying Earl Pearl Snyder, and you said at gmail.com?
At live, L-I-V-E.
At live.com, sorry. So Earl Pearl, P-E-A-R-L, Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, at live.com, if anyone wants to check into that DVD. So very decorated competitive career, and now you're at the stage where you're wanting to give back. Can you tell us a little bit? What I really want to know is why the NGA, but maybe in my precursor question of tell us a little bit about the history of the NGA, you'll get to that answer as well.
Yeah, Desiree. The NGA is, it's been around since 1979, so it's over 37 years old, and it's the longest-running drug-free bodybuilding organization. And NGA stands for National Gym Association, and it just keeps growing. And matter of fact, I do want to give a shout-out to Andrew and Francine Bostinto. They're the president and vice president, and Andy's the one that started this, like I said, back in 1979. And it has grown over the years to where actually this year we have over 100 shows starting from March the whole way through November. And we're also
nice.
International. So you can compete in Canada. It's in Italy. I just came back from the United Arab Emirates over in the Middle East and did some personal training over there. And I just got back a couple weeks ago. And so I'm maybe trying to lay the footwork out of having an NGA show over in the Middle East, because one of our NGA competitors actually lives over there and has a successful business, Rashid's Fitness Body Center. So I'm trying to just keep the ball rolling. And, you know, the NGA being international, it also just last year, you remember the old Mr. America, AAU Mr.
Yeah.
America, like, anyway, the NGA, Mr. America is now run under the NGA. So it's kind of cool. Last year when we end up judging, we got to see Tom Platz, Frank Zane. So all the former Mr. America was at the NGA Mr. America show. And that was an awesome experience, seeing those old guys.
I bet. A lot of history there. So that... I mean, I knew the NGA was one of the older natural organizations out there, but I guess I didn't realize it was the oldest. So that's pretty amazing. I've spoken with Andrew a couple different times, and he's quite the character. I'm not even sure how old he is now, but he is still very much as passionate now as he was when he first started the organization to give athletes a chance to compete naturally.
Well, I'll tell you what, Desiree, you hit the nail on the head, because he's the only guy I know, I don't think he sleeps. I mean, there's times where as a promoter, competitor, you call him, the president, he's answering the phone or he's returning the phone call the same day. So he's always accessible, him and Francine. I'm like, don't you guys ever sleep? Well, you know, Andy's like, I don't need to sleep. He's like an Energizer bunny. So I think that's one of the other things that as a promoter or an athlete is, if you want to talk to the vice president, you pick up the phone, you just call them. And they're very accessible, even if it's as busy as they are, and they help you out. And I know me as a promoter, that's one reason why I got involved in the organization. And then I'm promoting two shows, me and my co-promoter, Terry Weitzel, promoting the NGA North American Championships in April at the Woodlands Resort. And so now I decided to promote another show, the East Coast Natural in Pennsylvania. So the good thing about the NGA is that Andy, we have bylaws, but Andy likes people thinking outside the box. So as a promoter, he lets you do a lot of things, and it's up to you as a promoter. So there's a lot of free reigns, and we try to be creative with that. As a matter of fact, we started one of the first transformation divisions. And Andy thought that was a good idea. He says, run with it. So what transformation is it's a new division. It's been out for, I think we've had it for 2-3 years now. It's where you get people on stage, like Desiree, somebody might be like, say, 40 pounds, you think overweight or what. Mm-hmm. Some people in the audience would sit there and say, why is that person on stage? Well, you know what? There's always a story behind a competitor. And you know what? That person had a life-saving incident, or they've dropped 150 pounds, so they're proud of themselves. So we actually have a division that, you know what? It's not about who's the hardest or best body. It's about who went through the most transformation to get where they're at and to stand on stage. And you know what? That's one of the most successful and memorable divisions that we have. It just pumps people up that with a low self-esteem and say, you know what? I've come a long way. I may not look as good as other people, but guess what? I'm going to show the hard work and compassion that I did to get where I'm at. And you know what? We actually have a big screen, show them the before and after and read their story, and they enjoy that. And that's what it's about, motivating the competitors, giving them a chance. And that's what we do in the NGA.
And I love that. I mean, in the shows that I have competed in, some of the most memorable moments have been when you have that gal that was on stage and, she lost 100 pounds just to get there. And this wasn't in a transformation category because not everyone offers that. In fact, very few, it seems, at this point do, but it's starting to grow in popularity. But, you know, you just see those people and you're just like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. It takes a lot of heart for a competitor in general to get themselves ready to get on stage. But just that whole process of learning, of losing, just massive weight to get there and just totally changing your body in that perspective before fine-tuning it with all of the muscle, it is just very motivating, and it just shows people what they can do when they put their minds to it. So that is awesome. So NGA, leading the area of introducing new categories. But what else has the NGA been instrumental in bringing to the natural community? And do you have anything new that's on the horizon for the next year?
Yeah, we have, first of all, some of the other divisions that we just brought in, I think it was last year, was the Men's Classic Physique. And what Men's mm-hmm. Classic Physique is, it's a cross between a division between a bodybuilder and men's physique, because you got some guys in physique that are real big, but not as big as the bodybuilders. So, and if you look at Frank Zane, the classic physiques back then, we brought that back So, and that's been taken off, as well as bikini model, which is where they have a costume, you know, so they have a bikini and a costume, so the guys still look in good shape and everything. And we've actually have pro shows in those divisions. The NGA just, we ran one last year, as a matter of fact, on both those. So some of the other things on the, as far as the NGA, if you, and I'm not trying to sell it, but you, if you ever look at the website, and that's, and the one thing I like about the NGA website is our bylaws are on there. So it's not like some secret, like where all the rules and regulations, and everybody has access, including the athletes, the promoters, the judges, people in the audience. If you want to read the whole rules and regulations from A to Z, it's on the bylaws. So we have no surprises. So that's what, and we actually have the promoters. They have to read the bylaws. And if you're a judge, we have videos on there, like judging videos that you have to review before you are permitted to judge in the NGA. So we try to ground everybody associated with the NGA on the same sheet of music, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So that's that. So that's another thing. There's, we don't hide anything. And again, if you go to the website, you find everything. As a matter of fact, last year, I think it was in October, we launched our first NGA Natural Digital magazine. And you don't have to pay for it or anything like that. So, again, it's on the website, and it's accessible to anybody. And what the NGA Natural magazine was, all the results from the shows, the pictures from the shows, but there's articles that a lot of us write, including athletes. You know, some of those articles would be like how to pick a show, how to prep for a show, some nutrition. So there's a lot of good information. It's a very, very nice magazine. Actually, we're getting ready to come out with our next one next month, actually. So,
okay.
So another thing like that the NGA does for the athletes is they have a gallery. So if you send your photo in, there's a photo of the galleries, and even for the pros. And there's a gallery for the promoters, and we have a section for the judges. So they promote a lot for the athletes, and we have an athlete of the month. So, you know, and then if you're promoting, they the NGA will help promote your show throughout the year. So it's just another to help the promoter. And the other thing we came out with, and we talked about that, Desiree, is there's also the NGA calendar. So if you're competing in the NGA show, if you're competing in the NGA show, we selected 12 people, 12 guys and 12 girls, and whether bodybuilders, physique, bikini, figure, and we took the best ones that we thought of and made them into the 2017 calendar. And I'm sure we're going to be doing it again for the 2018 calendar that will be coming out.
Very nice. So how did that go over? How well has the calendar been received so far?
It went good. I mean, we went to the, you know, it came out in November, and then we took it down to, of course, Andy and Fran's Universe, which is the Grand Air Mall. We took them down there, and it was very well receptive. I mean, because we had like one guy and one girl on each of the for each of the months. So, and it's a good way to promote the athletes as well. Because for real, it's not about anybody but the athletes. It's not about the promoter. It's not about it's about helping people succeed and reaching their goals. And that's what gets me pumped up.
Yeah, I mean, and that you're right. That is at the heart of the matter. So NGA, it sounds like, overall, and folks, I mean, I hope you've been getting a good feel or background of who the NGA is and just some of the things that they do above and beyond in trying to be active and interactive with their athletes and promoters. So if you have questions, let us know. If there's something we're not covering, let us know, and we'll be sure to get back to you. Because when you go to choose your shows for 2017, I do hope or encourage you to choose them based on more than just location or just that your friend's doing it, but you know, really understand all of the thought and the passion that goes behind, you know, each organization and how that is translated through the promoters to an experience for you. So, Earl, you've been involved with the organization for quite a while. Why NGA? I mean, there's a ton of them out there. What drew you to this particular organization?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it just seemed like when I first started competing in NGA, everybody seemed friendly. Everybody seemed like they wanted to help you. Like, even the competitors backstage, you know, you're thinking, I'm competing against somebody. You know what? No, you need help. Guess what? They're there to help. And it's all, and again, it's all about opportunity. Like right now, there's more shows popping out in California. You know, and NGA started in the East Coast, but you look clear across the other side of the U.S. I mean, we have a couple more promoters in the state of California. We've had them in Las Vegas and Arizona, so up in Seattle, Washington. So it's covered, so it's not just saturated in one area. So if I'm living out in the West, as well as pro shows, because most people's goal is to turn pro, and then we have pro shows all throughout the U.S. as well. So it gives them the opportunity. So if I'm an athlete, I'm thinking, what's best for me as an athlete? Well, what kind of opportunity can I have? And I'm thinking, with all the promoting that's being done, and I'll tell you what, I know ours personally, we have an AST sponsor our show, and they're always looking for athletes. So if I'm an athlete, I'm thinking, man, I want to get sponsored by a supplement company, or I want to, you know, all the hard work. A lot of people don't get recognized because I think it's one of the toughest sports there are, because it requires so much discipline in what we go through, and yet, you know, we want to get rewarded, but yet I think the NGA, I mean, just seeing your picture out on the website and, again, getting sponsored by a supplement company, I think that's what's fun, and that's what makes it rewarding. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
For me, when I compete in the pros, I was always looking at pro shows, and I'm thinking, again, if I wanted to compete every month in a pro show, they're available. So some of the things, though, one of the toughest decisions is sometimes there's two pro shows in one day, whether it be in Florida and Pennsylvania or New Jersey and in California. So it's just a lot of opportunity. And, you know, I think that, again, if I want to know all about the rules and regulations, I go to the website. And I think as the NGA, we welcome even competitors to actually be judges. So that's a whole nother entity. Again, that's another opportunity. So that's why I think if you say one word, I think NGA gives you the opportunity.
Opportunity to be more than, you know, just a competitor in it, or, you know, to really just excel as a competitor because of the different things that they offer. And I'm glad that you brought up the idea of judging, because that's something we usually touch on from a judging perspective, but we don't talk about it a lot from the angle of athletes moving through the ranks, or more proactively moving through the ranks to become judges, because there's definitely a benefit to doing that for the athlete themselves, but also for the organization. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
Yeah. I think judging is one of the main criteria of as far as me. Let me back that up. I think in order for me to become a better competitor, I think what helped me was actually becoming a judge. Because if a competitor becomes, say they want to get more involved with the sport, and they want to become a better bodybuilder or a better figure competitor, bikini, whatever division you're in, if you sit there and judge, well, guess what? Now you know what the judges are looking at. Now you know what we're looking for. And that just makes you a better competitor, because the more that you end up judging, the more it keeps you in your mind. The other thing is, I tell even my clients, I'm like, you know what? Get involved. Because the more you judge, now, let's say you haven't competed in 6 months, rusty, but if you start judging more frequently and become a qualified judge, then you can sit there and say, okay, these are the quarter turns or half turns. Oh, okay, now I see what the judges are scoring. And it also compares you with them as a competitor. Because you can sit there and say, I'm getting ready to compete in a month. And you know what? Man, I don't look in that good of shape. So I need to kick my butt. I need to get in gear. Or you can sit there and say, and I used to do this. If I'm in the pros, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm about ready because I'm looking at these pros. So it's another way to get you motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes you more rounded as an athlete. That's my belief system. I mean, some of the top bodybuilders I know are judges. Why? Because they know what they're looking for. They know it makes them a better poser or how to make better transitions.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, definitely, because you have to be well-versed in what the criteria are, so then that just translates into, okay, now that I am more conscious of what it looks like, that's what I can be shooting for. And I also think from an organization perspective, the more judges that you can have coming through the ranks, that's just better for the athletes, because you have more variety. It's not the same people show after show. You get the chance to be seen by more people who are bringing, you know, their level of experience and their perspective to it as well. And I think it just makes the whole experience richer, the more growth you can have on the judging side of things as well. So if someone were interested in becoming a judge, what exactly would they have to do?
Well, first of all, I think you hit a very good point, Desiree. I think when you talked about diversity and everything, that you look at like some of the shows, like I can just use ours, for example, the North American Championship or East Coast Natural or Paul Omar in New Jersey or Fran and Andy down in Florida, they fly judges in from all over. So there ain't no homebrew cooking, as they say. There's times where I've been at shows, even out in Illinois, where they'll fly somebody in from Texas and Kansas and Pennsylvania and Missouri. So that makes it for a better show. Now, how does one become involved or to get involved? Like I know in the NGA, there's steps that you got to do to qualify. And some of the steps to qualify is, first of all, we have the person that wants to qualify look at the videos. Okay, like bikini and figure and bodybuilding. Okay, this is the video that we show the correct way. This is what we're judging on. So that puts in the mind, okay, because I know me personally, when I have clients, I make them look at the video on the NGA website. And then to become a judge, read the rules. The rules are available, the same rules for the athletes, judges, again, everybody has access to the bylaws. So when you read that, and I do that personally. Like when I'm flying to Florida or Illinois, because I'm this coming year, I'm 22 weekends out of the year, I'm away helping other promoters. And what I do when I'm on the plane or driving, not when I'm driving, but when I'm going there, or I have a little bit, I read the rules. I read the rules. Even though I know them, I read them before I get to the show. It just keeps it fresh in my mind. So, and then if you score like 80%, like you got test judged twice, and be a good representative of the NGA and score 80% for two shows, then that can help qualify you to become a judge.
Yeah,
right. That sounds like a pretty robust process.
So you just ask a promoter or ask one of us, and we'll definitely get you in the right direction.
Very good. And I think, if I heard correctly, Mr. Kalen Patterson, do I have you in the background there?
I think that was him in the background.
There you are. Welcome to the show.
KP, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Harold, how's it going?
Good.
I have a follow-up question for you, and I'm glad you guys can finally hear me. One of the things, especially when you were talking about diversity in the judging, because I know John Abraham's real big on having a good, sound judging panel to make sure his show is as best as it can be. And he also spoke about people, you know, learning to be judges so you wouldn't have that home cooking or, you know, basically a smaller group to choose from where it did get right. kind of stressful or somebody couldn't make it or, you know, feel some kind of pressure. But it also helps right. with the growth of the sport, you know, with the natural sport. If, like you said, if people are more engaged in the judging side, they do know what to look for, and you don't have the competitors basically sounding off. And as a judge and former, you know, and also competitor, you don't have to look back and say, you know, if they only knew the true value of this pose, or if they understood the criteria of this mandatory movement, they'd get a better gauge on what the judge is actually looking for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, KP. That's why there's videos out there, posing videos on the NGA website that we gauge off of. And that's why we have the rules, like even the judges, they have a set of rules that they read. Okay, this is what we're judging when we're doing bikini. This is what we look for in figure. And something that helps me, and when I MC, because I MC a lot, I go over the rules with the people in the audience. Because people in the audience might not know, what are the judges looking for in bikini as opposed to figure? Or what's the difference between men's physique and bodybuilding? So when I MC, I go over the rules and say, this is what the judges are judging on. So it keeps the people in the audience more engaged, more informative of, oh, okay, this is what they're looking for. So I think that I've always got great feedback when I do that. And I think, again, just what you're saying, get people involved. And speaking of Illinois,
I love that idea.
Yeah, that you know what? I've gotten so much positive feedback because, again, if you're a first-time person wanting, you're supporting an athlete in the show and it's their first time and they're in the debut division, how would they know what they're looking? How would they know if the person that they're supporting is looking good, looking bad, or why aren't they winning, or why they do this, or why they place this way? So you get the people in the audience, because I think that's just as important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So, and speaking of Illinois, I was lucky enough to you do some damage on stage, KP. Good job on that last one. I seen that.
And thank you, Earl. That's quite an honor. A lot of respect. I appreciate that. And one of the things that I can speak about is what you just said, and piggyback, is that, you know, I was actually part of an audience and also a competitor at some of the shows that you've had judged and emceed. And one of the benefits of being at a show like that is where you do have the knowledge that's given and shared about what's actually going on. And it does take away a lot of that angst and the anger in the audience, like you said, when they know what's actually happening and not guesswork because, you know, my son did all this work and he's the best one there because that's what I remember should be instead of the actual truth of what, you know, is actually happening on stage.
Well, that's, you should mention that, Kaden, because I know Paul Omar back in New Jersey, and he started this, and I started following suit, was when we have our competitors meeting, we talk to the coaches just like that and say, you know what, there's social media, you know what, be honest with your competitor. That's the best, you know what, that's the best you could do for your competitor, the person you trained. And so be honest with your competitor instead of getting ticked off or slamming on social media. You know, so we go over that with the coaches or trainers or whoever's in the audience at the competitive meeting with the athlete. So I think that's helped as well because, you know, this drug-free bodybuilding organization, I think we just need to – it's been growing and growing. And you know what? Because of the growth and people like P4P and you guys promoting it, you know what? You could take a natural athlete and they can compete against somebody on drugs. You know, when you're talking the weight divisions and stuff, because, man, KP, you'll know, Desiree, you know, it's getting tougher in the drug-free bodybuilding because these guys come in shredded, hard, and big. So that's what makes it exciting.
Yes.
It is very exciting.
Oh, yes. Well,
now,
it's actually a fun. Go ahead, Des.
No, go ahead. I'll follow up.
Okay, what I was going to say is that's the beauty of giving out that education, you know, because it's a two-way street, because it benefits the promoter and it benefits the competitor. But, you know, that third party that we tend to forget sometimes, and like Harold was saying about the audience that is engaged and knows what to look for, we sometimes, especially on social media, do forget to, you know, spread that education to the audience about what an actual show really should look for and actually be, because it seems, you know, it's either the promoter screwed up or the competitor screwed up, but nobody's thinking about, well, who's the people that are needing that true growth to make sure a bad show, quote unquote, doesn't happen again. It's like, okay, there are some times where things happen or don't go exactly as planned, but that doesn't mean we can't address to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right. I mean, and that's the most we can do. And of course, you got to lead by example, and that's what we try to do. You know, even in, like I say, even in the NGA, you try to lead by example. You know, so we try to hit every. We try not to forget anybody. And again, it's about those guys reaching their goals, making them succeed, feel good about themselves. If they feel good, guess what? They're going to keep plugging away.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yep, no doubt. But I will
When KP was talking, I was just thinking, you know, and you asked me, Desiree, about the NGA is, and I don't think people realize this, but a lot of the, and I can only speak for the NGA promoters, a lot, like I'd say over half of the promoters give proceeds to nonprofit organizations, like for the Wounded Warriors. I've done Wounded Warriors and Breast Cancer Awareness, because ours was in October last year. So there's a lot of promoters, you just don't realize it. Like there's remember the tornado in Illinois that wiped out the houses? You know what? Some of the proceeds went into the mayor to help build houses. And so there's a lot of good people in the community that give back. And that's, it's just amazing how much promoters and people give back, but people don't see that. So it's just one thing I wanted to throw out there. So any promoters listening, you know what, and you're like that, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you for the help and support for these nonprofit organizations, no matter what it is, helping kids. So we'll give you a shout-out to those guys.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is a part of it that goes unnoticed. And, you know, anytime you do good, you don't do it for the intent of being noticed, but it doesn't hurt, you know, to let the athletes know, and also the fans that are in seats to know, you know, how ticket money or what have you is contributing to the community around them as well. Because, you know, putting on a show is tough. Putting on a show is tough. We know a lot of promoters, they don't make money. You know, there are those that lose money, but, you know, when they still make the effort to give back despite, you know, some of the environments that, you know,
right,
they're producing a show under, that is pretty exciting news.
Yeah,
you
try not to, I don't want to say promote it, but you try to do it humbly, because I know, like, last
mm-hmm.
year, one of the biggest shows, they had the Wounded Warriors, some of the Wounded Warriors, and they had some of the guys in the armed services come marching out on stage, and I was like, wow. And so sometimes we don't feel, you know, we don't think that we as the NGA promoters, whoever, makes a difference, but you know what? One person can make a difference, and that, you guess what? We're in the right direction. So.
Wow, well said. Well said there. Almost makes me hate to ask my next question. So we're gonna roll with
this. Go ahead.
I know in speaking with Andrew, you know, and we talked about, or Andy, however, whichever way you want to refer to him, you know, and talked about his passion he still has for the sport and how active he is. But he also recalls, you know, the environment that he started the NGA under. And it's taken some twists and turns as a community over the years. And I know that he has some, and not to put words in his mouth, but, you know, some angst at the direction a little bit that the natural bodybuilding community is taking. you know, I guess what can you say that the NGA is striving for to really preserve the roots that it was started under for natural athletes?
Well, I mean, anybody that knows the history of the NGA knows that, you know what, Andy's probably listening or not, but, you know, the NPC wanted to merge with the NGA a long time ago, and even Arnold Schwarzenegger, Andy's good friends with him. He said, Andy, he says, you know what, you're going to fail. He says, why are you doing this? And so I think somebody like Andy, when you tell him no, yeah, that's not very good, because he finds a way to strive and to do better, especially because of his background. I mean, he served our country back in the day, and, you know, he struggled, but guess what? He had a heart. When you have heart and you have passion, you're going to succeed. And you know what? That drove him to do, the NGA wasn't always paved way of gold and it's always been easy. No, there were some struggles, but guess what? It's like a disciplined athlete. No matter what comes your way, obstacles, guess what? You'll find a way to get over that obstacle. You're always finding a way to do things better. And I think through the journey, we stuck with it, and Andy kept going, and he had a vision, and he just went with it, and he didn't waver from it. And guess what? That's why today, from 1979, it's still going strong. Like I said, there are over 100 shows just this year coming up, over 100, from, again, clear up into Canada, Italy. Like I said, I'm hoping the UAE, after coming back here, that's my push, and then all throughout the U.S. So it was just, I guess, persistence. So if you have a goal, you stick with it, because guess what? You're going to succeed in the end. And I think that's what Andy did with the NGA. You know, you always have that negativity, but guess what? I think the drive and discipline, determination will outlast negativity every time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of education that goes with that. I'm glad you brought up about the NPC, because, you know, like I told you when I met you in person, I was one of those that was not aware that, you know, NPC wasn't a natural affiliation. And, you know, I think that's why they get so many naturals involved in that market. But also, you know, when you're creating an understanding of what natural muscle can actually be, that itself is very profound. And I'm glad that Andy kept pushing through, because I can't imagine what had happened if he had just conceded and said, you know what, let's just succumb to what everybody is considering normal and keep doing basically damage to people's health, their lives, and their families. Because, you know, as much as we might not want to talk about that, you know, because I get tired of the deflection of, you know, I have nothing against that community, because really, you know, you're selling bad health. And if you, as a natural individual, you're actually supposed to be promoting good health, whether we intend to or not, because that's what it takes to actually get on stage.
Yeah, and again, I mean, that's people's choices. Everybody has choices. And for every choice, whether it's good or bad, there's consequences. And unfortunately, if you take the low road and you end up, you know, deciding to take drugs or whatever, there's going to be consequences. And I think, you know, you look at the athletes, KP, you'll know this. You compare athletes that are using drugs, compare them to the natural athlete, and you find out which one doesn't compete and stay in the game a lot longer, you know, with less health.
Oh, yeah, very true.
Whether it be with different body parts, you know, the mental anguish of it. I mean, to me, I don't think it's in any comparison, but you look at the drug-free athlete, they're reaching their prime, honestly, in their 40s. And me personally, when I hit 50, I hit a pro show. My pro shows, and when I hit 50, was the best I ever looked throughout my whole career. So it's just, and when I MC, I tell people this. You know what? You take, and I want you to think about this. We just had the Olympics last year, and they're saying, Michael Phelps is like 32, 34. He's at the end of his career. And you got this. So most Olympic athletes, they're done like around late 20s, early 30s. And I tell people in the audience, I was like, you know what? You name me one sport where you get better with age. I said, one sport. It's not football. It's not baseball. But guess what? It's the fitness industry. It's bodybuilding. I said, when you're doing, when you, you look at that, they get better with age. So I think that's one true sports. Even in the pros, the pro drug-free bodybuilders, they get better with age. You cannot say that with many other sports.
And
just
we've
a
got
thought.
No, yeah, and we've definitely got several that are testament to that. And a lot of athletes are older as they enter the sport. I can't tell you how many times you've heard of someone saying, you know, they were in their late 30s or early 40s before it was even the first time they stepped on stage. I mean, I was one of those stories. And, you know, you're right. There aren't many of any other pro sports where you can say, where people are saying, I became a pro at in my late 30s or my early 40s. It just doesn't
happen.
Well,
the thing is, no, and as a judge, you can look, and I tell my clients this, if I got a 22-year-old guy or gal, and I got another client that's in their early 40s, that person that's in their 40s has an advantage over the younger person. People are like, how's that? Muscle maturity. You cannot get muscle maturity. It takes over time. Like KP, you got good muscle maturity. There's no way a 20-year-old guy is going to be able to stick with you on stage. I mean, that's just nature of the beast, and that's why you got to stick it out. But that's, like I said, Desiree, you keep getting better and better. Guess what? There's people that are like 18, 25. They don't stand – I shouldn't say they don't stand a chance. They don't have as good of a chance as a person that's older and mature. Agree?
Yeah, I got to speak on that. And this and this is where you see the veterans, and, you know, when you see the social media posts and pics of the young kid getting ready for a show, they do look phenomenal. But when you see somebody that's been at the game and busting their butt, male or female, and you see, you know, not just the bicep, but the different contours, shapes of that muscle that's been worked time after time after time and perfected year after year after year, it's a dramatic difference. And, you know, it's nothing against the person that's getting into it because, you know, they're getting in younger and younger. Now that they know that the natural community exists, they can go in it a lot harder without the fear or doubt that they're actually going to look a certain way years down the road. But, like, I just can't piggyback that any better. Earl just said it so well that you will see a drastic difference. I mean, it's something to see a well-worked bicep, but when you see 5 or 6 years of that bicep and growth and change and just the maturity of that muscle developing, it's really something to see.
And I think that's where the young competitors get discouraged and say, I can't believe that guy's natural. Well, yeah, he's like 25 years older than you, and he's been around the gym, you know, a long time. And, you know, you look at, like I said, last year I think I judged out of 20 weekends. I think I was all over. And you know what? Most of those people that won their pro cards, they weren't in their early 20s. They most of them, I'm talking, I'm guessing like 80% of them, guess what? Were 35 on up. And that includes the women. You know, because they got those nice shoulder caps developed, whereas you got a girl in college, she's a little on the soft side and just not defined. And we as judges, we can pick that up easy. And that's, you know, so don't think that I'm too old to start. And I'm too no. You got to be in your prime.
And speaking of prime, I have to say, I've seen some photos. I'm sure you can probably still do it, but you on stage doing the splits. How does that happen? I was just telling someone I need to start taking up yoga because, well, I could never do the splits, but now I feel like I have even less range of motion. And then to see you out there doing it, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I'll be honest with you. I think I don't know what made me or how I got started, but I just started stretching. And I'm thinking, what could I do different through a posing routine? And I think, I don't know if it's because of the inner thighs, I don't know. So the first time I did, because most people put their hands on the floor and come back up. And I'm like, no, there's got to be a better way. And so if you ever look, YouTube my video, people are like, is there a string? What's pulling you up? I'm like, adrenaline and the people in the audience. So thanks. But when I do something like that, as long as the crowds enjoy it, I like it because it's for them guys, people in the audience.
So, well, I know Kaylin's looking for ways. He's looking for ways to put a little spice
here
in the life of his posing routine, KP. I know. I'm just saying. You could try working on a move like that.
I'm glad.
It's
a challenge for sure, but there's one thing that I do want to bring up, and I'm glad that we talked about the posing, and that's the night routines. And, you know, there's a lot of people, because of their non-creative or artistic side, in a nutshell, don't like the night routines and want to do away with it and just have, you know, just have the basic part of the show. But I think, especially from the old schoolers, they all talk about those night routines and how that just changed everything for them wanting to step on stage themselves. So, you know, as a judge, a competitor, and a pioneer, how do you feel about that, Earl?
Oh my. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that, because guess what? The old school, that's what, if I was in the audience, I wanted to see a nice routine. I wanted to see some costumes. I wanted to see some, whatever it is, some dramatics of how to flex your muscle. I mean, different ways with music. And I think, you know what, the people, you can't tell me, if you got good posers and people that come out with good costumes and themes and stuff like that, it's entertaining. And so I think it's a way to give the people in the audience to enjoy the night routine of showing you the hard work and muscle that you've done to get where you're at. So why not be a little bit theatrical and you know, me, I'm always coming up with some kind of costume. Why? Because you know what? They enjoy it. The competitors enjoy it. So my advice to the pros, man, don't just go out there and do a routine. Be creative, because guess what? These young guys look up to that. And you guys are the ones that keep it going. And you know what? I don't know anybody in the audience that sit there and say, why does he do that routine? No, it's very entertaining, and I think it's rewarding everybody. You know, and that's how you get promoted to be a guest poser, to, you know, to put yourself out there and to promote yourself.
Yes, and actually, like you were saying, it actually creates that wish for the non-competitor to actually compete and actually engage into it instead of just being a regular audience member. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, just wanting to come and watch the bodybuilding shows, because I know there's plenty of people that have a passion for the sport, any other sport, but never really actually want to partake in it. So there's nothing wrong with that. But if we take out the entertainment value, I think that would cause a drop-off in the creative side. And, you know, granted, everybody knows how to go to the gym. Everybody knows how to work. We'll take that. You know, I'll take that an issue on another show. But it's the fact that you have a creative side as well, instead of saying, you know, just the nuts and bolts. Here's something that you didn't think of that could draw others into the sport. And I think that's what it's all about, especially if we're truly promoting health and fitness. So, Earl, thanks so much for all this wisdom and insight. Is there anything else that we might have missed that you'd like to say?
No, I just like the only thing I would say, you know, because to start back from where we started, was if you're an athlete, check out a show, check out the organization, I mean, check them all out, and then see where you feel like, you know what, this organization, you know what, they take pride in the athletes. You know what? They give you the opportunity. You know, so that'd be my advice to the to a competitor. I mean, check out the opportunity of reaching your goals. How do you do that? And like I said, there's a lot of good people in the industry, and I know we in the NGA, what's what we're here for. You know, And we couldn't have, actually, again, we couldn't have done it without Andy and Francine Bastinto. So, you know, I just appreciate you guys for supporting the drug-free industry, definitely. You know, and I just want to...
thank you.
Let me give you... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're very, very welcome. Anything I can do... Anything I can do for the industry, I mean, that's why I'm here. You know, and KP, we're going to have to have a couple more training sessions. I think we both enjoyed that.
I look forward to it, for sure.
Very good. You can work on those splits.
Ooh. You know what? I want to see that. I hope I'm judging that one.
Woo,
the gauntlet
thank you.
Has been put down.
If anything happens, I am a first responder on the street. So don't worry about it.
Awesome. There you go, Dylan. You are in the best of hands right there. So, Earl, thanks
literally.
So much. And for anyone who wants to reach out, remember, it's EarlPearlSnyder@live.com. And I'm sure he'll help you out with whatever it is that you need. So have a great night, Earl, and we will be keeping our eye on all these NGA shows coming up.
What's that?
So, wow. Oh, I think we dropped him a little bit soon, but that's okay. I think we were at the end of the thoughts there.
No, he just said, what was that? He didn't hear what you had said. So, yeah, he was
at
the end of it. And I just want to tell everybody, he is exactly who he's putting out there, and he's not one of those fake individuals that people fear, you know, with what they have on social media, then they meet in person, and it's almost like night and day. And I've had that happen where people say, you know, I thought they'd be different, or I thought they'd behave better when, you know, with all these posts that they put out. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that Earl is definitely the real deal.
Very good. He seems like it. And I think, you know, he's one of the reasons why, you know, folks are in good hands with the NGA, just as, you know, a lot of the organizations. There's just a lot of good people across the board. And
oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
And it's just what we've come to expect, and we haven't been disappointed yet, so.
And I'm really thanking God for that because, you know, we've had shows like you know, especially, you know, toward the end of last year, where people weren't winning the shows they thought they were ready to do and had set up to do, and then they found out, you know, it's a little bit different. But I really think that if they had a better understanding of the judging and what was needed instead of what they thought they brought, because everyone wants to bring their best to stage, and everyone, you know, especially on the pro level, brings their best to stage, but that doesn't always mean that they're going to win with their best on stage. And I think with judging and helping judge and assisting and understanding the true criteria, not just what you think a promoter or a show is looking for, then things change for the better.
Yep, most definitely, most definitely. And, you know, just a real quick sneak peek into the future, we're going to have Kareem Petaway a little bit, especially when I'm in control of the calendar.
Oh, you're in control of it.
We're going to have, we're going to have Kareem Petaway, there you go, who's going to be joining our organization tour. And he's going to be bringing us up to speed on the latest and greatest that the WPA has going on. So you guys are going to keep your eye out for that interview as well.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Another KP.
Good stuff, KP.
Can the show handle two KPs?
I don't know. And actually, our third one between Dr. Corey Probst, Mr. Cameron Patterson, and Kareem Petaway, we're being overrun. We're being overrun by the KPs. I got to find some DFs to balance this out.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Anyway.
You watch your mouth.
Hey, you just get on with the snickerdoodle shout-out.
DF snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle.
I'm going to have myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle. Your body is a temple.
Yeah.
Let's build it.